This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, and thank you for joining us here on episode 35 of the Polykill podcast. As always, we are your hosts. I am Travis, the retro gaming enthusiast and collector. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames.
And I am Jake, the other co-host. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMcAxel. You can find me on PSN at TheMcAxel. You can find me on Xbox Live, just McAxel.
There you go. I don't want you to find me anywhere else.
I've locked that down. I just want to play games with people, so leave me alone. I mean, not you people. Like, you leave me alone. The people I play games with, I'm good with.
Oh, right.
Play games with me anymore. You gave up on that, so
yeah, well,
it's fine.
I also already got my Nintendo Switch ID locked down as Trav plays games as well.
Get out of my dick.
Yeah, well.
That's impressive.
And I probably won't buy a Switch for months, but got that name already locked down. If you'd like to follow both of us at one time together, you can follow us at Polykill on Twitter as well. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Jake tells me that he's keeping up with that, but I have no way of knowing. You can also find us on cartridgeclub.org, short for organism.
Orgasm.
And, of course, as always, polykill.com. That's where you'll find all of our blogs, videos, and all the other bullshit we think is fun and want to share.
Yeah.
Please rate us on iTunes or whatever you use to listen to us, and subscribe to our sad, lonely YouTube channel. All right, let's dig right in. So, what are some games that you've picked up or are on your radar for early March, or what have you picked up recently? Anything?
Well, no, I haven't.
Good.
I'm still...
Good. That was a test.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's a good test.
Good.
No, picked up nothing.
Yeah?
I don't really have anything on my radar. I'm trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
There's a few games that pop into mind, like Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, yeah. When's that dropping?
Next month.
Oh, okay. So it's not
I think
in
it's
the next
late.
2 weeks.
But no, I'm not even keeping up with release dates right now, just because I'm not in the market to buy games at the moment. But that one does interest me, and Ghost Recon Wildlands, to an extent, is kind of like around up here, but it'll be a long time before I buy another game like that.
Sure, sure.
But preeminently, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
And that's 3 days
from now.
4 days from now?
Yeah. You're good, man. I'm excited for you to play that.
I really am. I've been waiting for 2 years. I'm jazzed.
Yeah,
getting
I feel
great
like
reviews.
I feel like you've gone cold turkey on game on like a new game in a while.
Yeah.
And you're just ready to just explode up inside this one.
I am.
That's exciting. That's really exciting. I'm excited for you. I picked up a few games, you know, as a collector, you know, you tend to acquire. And I did a good trade in and picked up, as you've sabotaged here, Conker's Bad Fur Puss.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Conker's Bad Fur Day, which is a, I would call, medium rarity game for the Nintendo 64, which doesn't have many of those.
Right.
But it is noteworthy. So I did pick that up, got a lot of love on the Instagram. It was real nice.
Very nice.
And then I also picked up my new Dreamcast VMU so I can get back in and finish off
the Sonic,
I guess, timeline for Sonic Adventure and finally knock that one officially off the backlog. And you said you're not looking at anything for early March aside from Horizon Zero Dawn, which is coming to you. That's the last day of February.
Yeah, last day of this month. So, no, I'm really not looking for anything, really, at this point.
Well, I didn't pre-order the Nintendo Switch, and I don't expect there to be any the first few days that they're released in a store. I don't expect to get my hands on one for a while. That's okay. I am still interested in, obviously, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yes, which we both thought, for some reason, at some point in our lives, was Breath of the Wind, and we both thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it still sounds like a fart. Now, I'm also excited about Super Bomberman R.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you when the last Bomberman entry landed. It was probably a mobile thing, or maybe it was just some side download game for the Wii U. I don't even know. Maybe the last one was years ago. I have no idea, but I saw previews of this one, and it made me really want it. It looks like a good co-op time.
Right.
The
kind of Lolo-esque, but co-op.
A little bit. Yeah, I would say that. It's vintage Bomberman, but it looks like they've added some different levels to, you know, there's some verticality going on and a lot of good co-op things. So I'm actually kind of excited about that.
Very cool.
Pretty cool, yeah. So Zelda and Bomberman in the year 2017, what a thing.
That's crazy town.
So I'm excited about all of that stuff, even though I probably won't get to play it for
a few months. Yeah.
But I'll eventually get a Switch. You know, I got to deal with this other, you know, when you're a homeowner and a cat owner and everything else, money goes all over the place. So
all over the place.
Save up.
Yep.
All right. So let's move on to, you know, that little gaming resolution briefing that we do.
Yeah.
Mine is pretty much the same as last.
Mine too.
I have not beat a Space Shmup. I did beat A Link to the Past. That was always going to be green for the rest of the year. Continue to attempt games on secondary platforms. Again, I didn't get my VMU, so I didn't go further with Sonic. And play more. And I've changed this. Last time I had just play more RPGs. Was very open about it.
Okay.
I'm saying classic RPGs.
Now, do you mean action RPGs or just like traditional turn-based stuff, or like you think about Final Fantasy, you think about Chrono Trigger, you think about what you think about? Give me an example.
I think what I go to when I think about this, because I love action RPGs. Do you love them?
Yeah, but that's not really challenging yourself.
Right. Well, it's not coming out of my mold. It wouldn't be a gaming resolution if I didn't
do something
a little bit different. And we'll actually maybe touch on this a little bit later. But
we might.
Not enough. I won't say not enough turn-based RPGs. Obviously, I'm playing through Dragon Quest VIII.
Right.
I did put a lot of time into Final Fantasy VII. I'm also playing the sequel to the original Parasite Eve, which I played through, Parasite Eve 2, which is action RPG. But that said, when I think classic RPGs, I'm thinking, whether it be turn-based or not, I'm thinking things from like the 16-bit era. I'm thinking more on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
What you might call the top-down RPG console.
Sure.
You know, I got Secret of Mana kicking around. There's, you know, Chrono Trigger and Earthbound. There's some games that I want to pick up and play through those. Final Fantasy IV, I think that's a
perennial classic.
That, and it's also a Cartridge Club game that's going to be coming, that they're going to be playing soon. So that's one maybe. I've honestly never beaten a Final Fantasy game. So that's what I'm aiming to, is just knock some of these really big titles, big name titles off. It'll knock it off the bucket list. It'll satisfy a resolution. It'll make me happy.
Knock it off the bucket log?
Knock it off the whole bucket log.
That's what we're going to call it now. It's a bucket log.
That's right. What about you?
No, mine's pretty much all the same. I did more work in Witcher Wild Hunt. So my resolution is going to remain a slightly oily orange to beat a large-scale RPG in the year. Beat retro games, made no more progress on that. Track better, I did. I'm doing fine. And buy no new games for 6 months.
Still doing it.
Still doing it. Still hanging out there.
You're almost 2 full months in.
I am 2 full months in this point.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And in terms of beating more retro games, let me help you with that.
Yeah.
Let me show you the way.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, what happened last time on Polykill?
Previously on Polykill, Jake is counting down the days until he gets Horizon Zero Dawn as Trav adds Jet Force Gemini and the NES's G.I. Joe to his backlog. Jake didn't beat any games while Trav knocked out a few, including Sherlock Holmes and Tailspin. Trav retired Double Dragon and is still unsure on Wolfenstein Old Blood as Jake marches on with Soma and The Witcher Wild Hunt. The fellas embrace their new Cartridge Club podcast community and ponder the essence of gaming communities as a whole for the topic of discussion.
All right, so games that you added to your backlog.
Yeah.
I added one, and thanks to you, actually I added a couple.
You did.
But
you
one
did.
Of them, thanks to you, you finished it.
I did.
Talked about it last episode, I think you finished it, or a couple episodes ago. You finished it and passed it on to me. I was having a hard time coming up with a long play, I'll talk about this later, but ended up adding Quantum Break to my backlog, and I have played a little bit of it, and I think I'll save that for my long play discussion, but I am enjoying it. And the second one that I added, thanks to listener at a Latino Lawyer on Twitter. I had mentioned we did this segment last time talking about games that might have flown under your radar.
Right.
And a couple years, you know, going, I hadn't really paid attention to Bayonetta 2 in terms of, you know, getting it. It always had been there and you know, I was occasionally enticed when I saw it, but I would just forget about it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't forget about it.
Right.
You know?
It came back around.
It came back. Somebody said, hey, you want to borrow this? And they mailed it to me. And now I can play it.
Get down.
So I added it to the backlog.
As you should.
Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U.
There you go. Wii U exclusive.
Yeah, Wii U exclusive. And to some folk, it's not that the Wii U had a huge library, but it's in the top five list, I think, for must plays for that console. Yeah. So
It is.
I'm excited about both of those games. Really excited about the games I added to my backlog.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. 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 Okay, I added, it's not, we don't have it yet, but this is a game I was curious about for years and still has somewhat of a, like a small fan base. I think a lot of people were let down, publisher side, is Evolve. And this game is going to be given away, Games with Gold, for the month of March. So for Xbox One. So I'm going to add that to the backlog, give that a shot.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably going to be the bare bones version. Won't have all the features that, you know, you have to pay for, but the game's no longer being worked on. It's now basically developmentally dead. So, it, you know, it makes sense that they give it away at this point and try to, you know, generate some interest in it. But I was genuinely curious about it. So I'll put it on there just to, you know, see how I feel about it. Maybe do some co-op matches, see what happens.
Yeah, man, that's a game that when it was announced or when they showed like a trailer for it or whatever, even before, way before the beta came out,
yeah,
it was one I thought might be a system seller, especially yeah. for me personally, because I really like that idea that somewhat unbalanced multiplayer, yep. but, you know, the hide and seek and all this stuff. But, you know, playing the beta, it didn't seem like the game I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And I think that's what most people... That's the way most people ended up feeling about that game, and that's why it didn't survive, I guess, or yeah. didn't blow up the way they expected.
Yeah, it went free to play on PC late last year, mid last year, and then Turtle Rock were like, "All right, we're just done with this. We're handing it over to the publisher to do what they want with it, moving on to something else." So, I think the bad publisher model is what killed that game. Overall, I think that's the general sentiment, but. It looks like a fun game, but there's a lot of people that really defend this game to the death, and they're like, yeah, this is a good game. People should play it. I got a bad rap. I understand that, but it's a good game. It's a fun game. So based on that and the fact that it's, you know, fucking free, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll probably download and play it myself.
Yeah.
Just dabble anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of a shame. And I probably wouldn't even call it a bad game. The little experience I've had with it, I don't think it's a bad game. I just don't think it's what everybody thought it was going to be.
Right.
You know,
I think that's exactly the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only thing that I'm going to add to the backlog. I just, you know, I don't have it yet, but I just put it on there because they just announced that. So I thought, I'll throw that on there.
That's not bad. Hey, it's free.
There you go.
What are you going to do?
There you go.
All right. So those are games that we've added to the backlog. Games that we've knocked out of the backlog. You haven't done much.
No. Life has been a bit hellacious schedule-wise for the last month. I've been working 6 days a week and going to school every moment that I can otherwise. So gaming time has been somewhat limited, especially to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish with beating games right now.
Right.
Put it that way.
You know, I'm not in an entirely different boat. It's just that I have shorter games at my disposal.
I think that's key.
So I have also been very busy, but I managed to finish off, like I said last week, I copied down a password on the last, right before the final stanza of G.I. Joe for right. the NES. Managed to beat that, I believe, the next day after we recorded.
Hmm.
And then last night, I wanted to beat another game because just getting here and saying I beat G.I. Joe the last 10 minutes of G.I. Joe didn't feel...
2 weeks ago.
You know, it didn't feel like a good podcast. So I was like, you know, hey, I put an hour into Kung Fu on the NES, which is, it's, you know, everybody knows it's an easier, shorter game, but hey, I hadn't beat it before. I beat it last night. I gotta say, it's pretty fun, actually.
Cool.
It's a black box game, so it's one of those right. really early releases. Very simple. You're a kung fu dude, and you go through five floors of this. I mean, it
dojo.
Looks, yeah, it looks like I don't fucking know. It looks like it's probably somewhere in East Asia, and you punch and kick your way through, fight a couple bosses, and save Sylvia. Which is not an Asian name.
Does not seem Asian.
Not an Asian name. I don't even know what your name is in the game. But you do that, you know, it's pretty quick and fun. And, hell, having beat it, I'd almost play through it again. I thought it was pretty fun. It's
nice.
Really simple. You just punch and kick your way to victory.
Very cool.
So there's that. So if you want to punch and kick your way to victory in life, this episode is sponsored by Caltech Technologies LLC. Caltech specializes in building full-stack web applications utilizing modern technologies like Ruby on Rails and AngularJS. If you know what that is, then you need to contact Calden Technologies, because if you're looking to take your business idea to market or you have a software need that can support your goals, contact Calden Technologies for a free consultation. It's like Games with Gold, but consultation.
Yeah.
It's free as fuck. To get started on building and launching your concept, be sure you email sales@cowden.tech. That is sales, not like ship sales, you know, sales, like Kmart has clearance sales when they're going out of business all the time. At cowden.tech. Also, JCPenney closing a lot of stores.
Get out.
Yeah. So if you've been looking for slacks, you might have to drive a little further.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yeah.
Never know. So long play.
Yeah, long now, play, girl.
Nice. Nice little ditty. Thanks you for bringing that in, Travis.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, looks like we have a last-minute sabotage here. I'm playing, like I told you earlier, I've picked up and added Quantpus Break.
Quantpus Old Blood.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I know you were.
Quantum Break, okay?
Quantum Break.
Dude, I love it.
I think it's a great game.
I am really impressed with those action sequences, the little episodes.
Oh yeah, the
action stuff.
Yeah, they're good.
It's great.
They're good. Yeah.
I don't know why people aren't more excited about that than me. Like I watched those, and like you did mention, like there's no like panning shots or anything like that. It's very much like close up action.
Right. Very tight.
See, yeah. It is. It feels like it was all shot in a closet, but it looks like a lot of money went into this.
I mean, there's some, like you got Lance Reddick. You got I can't think of his freaking name, but the guy who plays Littlefinger. The guy who plays Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. I can't think of his name, but anyway, he plays the main antagonist. Like he's there.
Yeah.
I have a couple other like randomly familiar faces, but yeah. I mean, I feel like
very
it was,
well done.
Yeah,
man. And I hope this isn't a spoiler.
Very crisp.
I don't think it is, but at one point, one of the characters is in like holding cell. Uh-huh. And a guy comes in, and he just turns around and kicks a chair into him, and that felt very Jack Bauer to me. I was like, "That's fucking titties."
Yeah, that was a cool sequence. I like that sequence.
Yeah, that whole. Yeah. I mean, all of that stuff's really, really good, and I feel like it does tie in well with the game. I do have a few complaints about the game, the way it. I feel like it doesn't give you enough time alone with your abilities.
I agree. It's like they just like here have these.
And then they throw you in a very meaningful area, and they're like, all right, you have all these tools, but you don't know what. Anything, you don't know the limitations of what you got.
Right.
You don't know really the best time to use them, and that's caused me some frustration because, I don't know whether, some of them are the same button. So it's like, do you hold it in or tap it? It does different things.
Yes.
That's probably my only and biggest complaint about the game is
sure.
that.
Yeah, usually when you have like some sort of power, there's usually some sort of rock, paper, scissors thing.
Sure.
You versus like some type of enemy. It's like, well, if you get this armored enemy, use this. If you get this sniper, you use that. And there's always kind of like a counter to everything. This, there doesn't seem to necessarily be any rhyme to it like
right.
that. It's just like you want to, run through time and everybody else stand still, or do you want to throw a wad of time at somebody? It's just like you can do these things if you want to. But there doesn't seem to be like I said, that little rock, paper, scissors
sure.
thing that I would normally expect. You get that in like an infamous game or something like that. So
that's a good point. And one other thing that kind of itches my goose. I'm not good at adages. One thing that really breaks my goose out in Bad Rash is the time thing. So like occasionally it'll like freeze and then it'll like flash and everything is kind of rippling and
right.
and broken. That kind of agitates me. I really like the scenery in the game and it looks very clean and crisp, but sometimes that really distorts it and makes it ugly to me, and I don't like it. And it
kinda, do you think that maybe was the design intention?
I don't know. I feel like maybe there's probably a better way to do it to make it look futuristic and looks like time is warping and you can still travel through and know what you're doing. But sometimes I'm like, what is in front of me? I have no idea what I'm looking at because everything is kind of flashing and weird.
Yeah, I can see that.
But that might be getting a little nitpicky.
That could be personal preference.
The game is still pretty solid.
Yeah, it plays well.
And like we mentioned before, I'm really surprised that it didn't
kind of released and trailed off with a bit of a whimper,
fizzled out. Yeah, I would say that, and maybe it's because it has no online multiplayer aspect to it to keep it alive. It's just you play through it and you're done, and you talk about it with your friends. Maybe you do a replay because there's a lot of decision making.
Right, you can go back
in the road. But for the most part, I feel like it whimpered out. So if you can get your hands on it, I'm sure it's cheap now. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
No, I mean, you're probably going to pay at most $30 for it. I would say less in most cases.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid entry.
Yeah.
So what are you playing long-term there, buddy?
I'm still rocking the same two. I would consider. I did not put any more time into Soma over the last couple of weeks, just because I feel like that's a game that you kind of need to sink into a little bit. It's a game about atmosphere and environment and place, and I haven't had the mental state to absorb myself into something that deep, metaphorically and literally. So I would say in that case, I haven't just put more time into it. Mm-hmm. I have spent more time with The Witcher Wild Scrunt.
Yeah!
Woo! Yeah, there it is. There it is. Not a lot, maybe another hour and a half, but it's man, it's just this... I love it. You know, you get into this rhythm of like fighting the monsters and fighting the creatures and collecting all the stuff that you need to make the potions, and then you're like, oh, well, there's a witch in town and she's doing X and such, and then you're like, go talk to this witch, and she's like, oh, I'm not actually a witch, I actually know you. It's just really, really cool. I mean, those side quests, man, they're so meaningful, and even the main quest it's fun, and yeah, just have a lot of fun with it. It's a great, great game. Cannot be overstated. Probably on the borderline of being overstated how great this game is. But yeah, been enjoying the hell out of it.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of side quests, and do a nice transition, but I just wanted to say your description last time about the side quests you had in Witcher made me kind of want it. I've been kind of itching for it, and and again, like I mentioned before, it's so long and intimidating, and it would eat up all of my time playing it if I were to get serious with it.
Sure.
I kind of do want to experience the world, because I imagine myself, you know, there's some tall weeds and blowing grass, and I'm kind of going through, and I see a light in the distance, and I want to go investigate what that is, and it kind of reminds me of maybe like Skyrim in a different way. You know, that adventurous and exploratory, and I've not had that in a game in a while.
Yeah. And I will honestly have to say, you know, I mean, Skyrim purists and Elder Scrolls fanboys might throw flaming rags at me. I don't know. I'm not good with weapons. but they would probably throw flaming rags at me for saying. But I think that The Witcher's world, in terms of just personality, it's so much better, in my opinion, than Skyrim. Like Skyrim, every NPC you encounter feels a bit like a cookie cutter.
Yeah, well, yeah. I would say that for sure. I would say that's true in all of Bethesda's
And that's not why you play those necessarily for that, but that is a big part of like being involved into an Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
But when you go into like, you know, just like riding through the first village in The Witcher, Wild Hunt, you know, there's these like, you encounter the political struggles, you encounter like the class struggles. There's kids in the street singing songs, like these made up, songs about the current emperor who's trying to take over, and they're like these like ridiculing him in the streets, and then the parents come out there like, and this isn't like a cutscene, you just ride by and see this, and like the kids are out there singing it, and then the like the dad comes out there like, who told you that song, get in the house, do not say that in public, like there's like weird like just so much personality, and it does not beat you over the head with it, it's just there. And yeah, I just, it's so great. So great. And it's a beautiful game. The combat's deep, and there's lots of shit tons of customization and alchemy and spells. It's a blast.
Yeah. Man.
It's a blast. And the music. The music's fantastic. Fantastic.
See, there's so many reasons for me to jump in, but, you know, you throw out hundreds of hours when you mention a game, and this is kind of like...
I mean, you could beat it in probably like 60. Like the main story you could probably get through in 60, which is still fucking huge, by the way.
That's huge, yeah.
But, you know, if you want to experience all the little idiosyncrasies and little nooks and crannies of the world and the gameplay, yeah, you can go... I just like preparing for the monster fights, man. It's like you find what the monster is. You track it, and then you look at the traction. Like, I think it's this. And then you have to interrogate people. Like, what did it sound like? What did it look like? And they're like, okay, I think it's this. And then you see it, and you confirm it's that. And then you refer to your bestiary. It's like, oh, it's immune to this, it's sensitive to that, I need to go build a weapon or a bomb or something to go fight this thing now that I know what it is.
Oh, that's
neat. And
then
you have to fucking track it and then fucking kill it.
Now, is that why the Wild Hunt is the tagline?
No.
Was this a thing that was pervasive through all Witchers?
No. The Wild Hunt is basically a supernatural Gestapo sent out by... And the Wild Hunt is actually not at all... exclusive to The Witcher. This is something that exists in fantasy lore as a whole. It's sort of one of those tropes mm-hmm. where if you want to suppress a certain type of, you know, magician, witch, warlock, magic user, spellcaster, whatever, you can send out this kind of like Gestapo of the kingdom to go and squash them. And that's what this is. And given that witchers are basically witches, that's sort of how the story ties in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you have a knack for explaining it to where I want it even more.
Yeah.
So look at you.
But yeah. All right, play that fucking game, guys. Seriously, it's so good.
Well, speaking of expansive and well-made side quests, what are you playing on the side of your long play?
Two games primarily, and I will say in the past 2 weeks I've played these games more than I played my long plays. So they may technically switch spots in terms of the last 2 weeks anyway. I'll go with the first one, and that's Tityfall 2.
Yeah,
multiplayer.
Tityfall.
So a buddy of mine, Jimmy, he snagged a copy of the game. He's like, hey, let's play. I was like, yeah, let's play, bro. So, we just jumped into this shit again. And that game just could not be any better multiplayer-wise, in my opinion. It's so fun. It's so smooth, and like the variety of game modes and maps and weapons and customization options. I've talked about this game for 4 months on this podcast, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but Titanfall 2.
Nice, man.
Go play it.
I forced a little more jizz into my eye with Jet Force Gemini.
How's that going? Did you get past the last stage you were stuck on?
I finally did. And one thing I found about the game, I don't know if I'd encountered a boss fight up to this point, but the game has, you know, a stage that you have to travel through. Mm-hmm. You have to fight your way through, and it'll give you two continues for that stage, so you can travel through it, you can lose all your life, you can die, you can be, you know, respawn right there right where you died.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah.
Twice,
which is that's kind of generous for the time, actually.
Sure. If you waste that last continue, you have to start the whole stage over.
Yeah.
But fortunately, if you make it to the boss, you can die as many times as you want at the boss.
It'll
put you in the room right before the boss. That was nice. That was saving grace for me because I did encounter a boss that took me a little bit of time to figure out how to beat.
Okay.
But I finally got off that godforsaken ship. I think I told you about it at lunch. I was stuck on a spot in this game. And I don't think the game's hard. I think using that stick to aim is hard.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I actually even considered going on the Rare Replay and playing it with a modern controller.
Yeah.
But I'm so far into it now on the old hardware, and there is a charm to that that I'll probably continue it that way. But I don't know how far I'm into it. I probably haven't scratched the surface on a 20-hour game. I'm maybe 2.5-3 hours in.
Gotcha.
But I'm liking it.
Cool.
Yep.
It's a cool little property. It's one that I was kind of always, I guess maybe, especially at the time when I didn't really understand why there wasn't sequels to games, and there wasn't constant gaming news on the internet because the internet was kind of young. Just to know why it didn't go anywhere else, you know, because it's a neat little world. It really is, and some fun characters, and you know, maybe it just bad time, bad place. I don't know, but I thought it was a good game.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I don't know why it didn't really live on past that. It seems like it has the characters of a Star Fox, you know, like lovable animal like characters. It has a good story. It's actually fairly deep if you wanted to, you know, pay attention to all the NPCs talking to you and things like that.
The geopolitical stuff about it.
Yeah, good enemies, really good boss fights, good gameplay. It kind of, you know, it could almost be one of the first 3D Metroids if you really want to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I mean, there might be some other properties that lived on, you know, like came after it that just, maybe that's what failed the series. And we just,
sure.
Maybe I'm just not thinking of what those are. But yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I don't know why it stopped there.
Gotcha. What else you get into?
Demon's Crest. So do you remember, I paid a little bit of money on this game because I had wanted it.
Yeah. This is the one that you tried to get like twice, right? Or you tried to get it once and it was mislabeled, and then
I ordered it off of eBay. It showed up with the Demon's Crest sticker.
Turns out it wasn't.
The board was actually a Breath of Fire, which is weird because usually if someone's going to put the wrong game, they're going to put like Madden 96 in there, you know, like a $2 game.
Right.
You don't usually swap a $90 game for a $50 game. That doesn't make any sense. So yeah. I sent that back, and it didn't necessarily seem malicious. Right. It was an honest mistake by the seller. I think they had both of those games, cleaned them at the same time, and just put the wrong boards in the game.
Makes sense.
Didn't try it after they cleaned it like an idiot. So I lost out on that. Ended up getting it, you know, in a separate eBay bid. And I don't eBay big dollar games often because of that.
Sure.
For that reason. But I really wanted this one. I'd played it at a friend's house, and it had just been in the back of my head. And I'd never seen it, you know, out in the wild hunting for games.
Wild hunt.
Picked it up. Yeah. But I finally did get it. I finally got it. It's made by Capcom. It is a successor of the like Ghosts and Goblins series.
Okay.
And you play as Firebrand, one of the, you know, flying gargoyle-esque enemies from that series. So you, it's nice. A more devilish tone to it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Of course you know that about me.
Hey, Gargoyle's Quest. I'm sorry, not Ghosts and Goblins. Gargoyle's Quest. It's part of that series. And made by Capcom, so it's really good. Platform game, kind of, but you can fly with your guy.
Right.
But you remember last time, so I'm catching everybody up because it's been a few episodes.
Been a while.
You remember last time I talked, I said I beat the game before I was supposed to.
You beat it wrongly.
Yeah, and there is a bad ending. You can beat it prematurely. Well, I did that again. I did that. I did the exact same thing. And the reason I did, because I didn't remember what I did wrong the first time, so I kept taking the next logical step that was available to me, so I thought. And I ended up, I was like, okay, fine, what the fuck am I doing wrong? I spent a couple hours again and did the exact same stupid fucking thing.
Idiot.
And turns out there is one cave that you have, it's hidden. And it's a part of the game you have to go into.
Mm-hmm.
And if you beat the boss in this cave, then it unlocks a new place for you to go.
Oh.
It's kind of confusing.
Seems it, yeah. It's very obtuse.
I don't have the manual. The manual might state this.
Mm-hmm.
It might say, do this, do this. I don't know what it says. But I had to consult a walkthrough and be like, seriously, though, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And it just turns out like I'm supposed to use one of my characters to knock a big rock out of the way and go into a cave, and it opens up a whole new level. You beat that level, then it like I said, it
carries
opens
on
up,
from there.
Yeah, the next logical step. In my mind, before that, you know, before I unveiled this cave,
mm-hmm.
it unlocked a place I hadn't been, and when you go there, it's the final boss. And I beat him before I was supposed to, twice.
Damn!
And finished the game, and I was like, what am I doing wrong? So, I would say that my complaint is that the game is not intuitive in its, I guess,
presentation.
Well, you know, whatever breadcrumbs it's supposed to lead you in terms of where to go in the story is not great. There's no there's no miser on the street hinting to where you're supposed to go. There's nothing like that.
Glowing cat under a tree.
You're supposed to run around and find where you're supposed to go. Maybe I was too dense to figure that out. But needless to say, I'm on the right track now. I still think the game is fucking fantastic.
I love the animation. Like, you popped it in a while back, maybe shortly after you got it.
Yeah.
And the animation's gorgeous.
Yeah, I had to show it off because I love that opening sequence. In the very beginning, there's a dragon, and you're in a castle, and he you know, is chasing you down a hallway, and it looks really good for the time.
Yeah, I love it.
Demonic and dark and medieval and devilish and fiery. It's so good.
Sinister.
It's even worth looking. If you don't even own the game, because it is not cheap, look that sequence up on YouTube and see if it doesn't make you kind of want to play that a little bit.
There you go.
It's pretty cool.
There you go.
But that was my experience with Demon's Crest.
Crest?
All
nice.
Right.
The other one that I put a lot of time into, and this is probably no surprise, is Overwatch.
Mm.
Man, I'm getting good, guys.
Really? You pro?
I'm getting pretty good. No, not pro.
Oh.
But I'm getting good. I'm getting better.
I was going to say, the Cartridge Club folks play it quite a bit. And they seem pretty high on their abilities. I see them all the time on the Twitter being like, getting their posse together and going out Overwatching and killing some noobs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really not what the game's about. I mean, not
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You don't. But yeah, like, it's like, man, I get really frustrated playing this game when my team that I'm just randomly attached with, because I really don't often play with people I know. I think I know two other people that play on the platform on which I play, which is PS4. And we just don't get to play together that often just due to schedules. So I'll just like pair up with these random people, and sometimes I get really frustrated because I'm like, guys, this isn't a death match. We have an objective.
Do you bite your controller?
No, but I do grit my teeth a little bit and say, you know, come the fuck on, and yell at them.
You should buy a second controller to bite.
I should, or it maybe helps. Just, you know, bring some snacks.
You could, maybe, yeah,
just do that. Yeah. But yeah, spent a lot more time with Overwatch. Got really pretty good with Sombra. Doing pretty good with Soldier 76, who was kind of my main before I switched to Sombra as my main, I guess I would say. If the team is unbalanced and we need a tank, I'll play Zarya. I'm getting pretty good with her. So yeah, and also experimented a little bit more with Reaper, whose character design is my favorite in the game. Love the character design of Reaper. It's just fucking awesome. But anyway, have a lot more fun with that. And yeah.
Nice, man.
Getting them loot boxes, getting them new skins, new voice lines, and new tags, and gold to buy shit with. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you can get a bigger posse to play with.
I need to. I may actually at some point buy it for Xbox.
Just to expand the personnel you can play with?
Yeah.
It might be a good idea. Yeah, if you're really serious about wanting
or to. Or PC. Who knows? I just hate playing games on a PC because I like my couch a lot more than I like my computer chair.
That makes sense. I think that's what a lot of us do.
Yep. Yeah, boy.
All right. Moving right along?
Moving right along.
Well, let's get into the discussion.
Discussion.
Out of the comfort zone.
Oh.
We're going to, you know.
Go some new places.
Yeah. So pull down your pants and take a seat, and let's get out of our comfort zones.
Yes.
This is going to be about game genres with which we have spent little to no time. Yeah. We want to discuss a little bit about why we haven't, what's keeping us away from these obscure genres, or genres.
Maybe not even that obscure, you know. I feel like both of us are semi-adventurous in our sex life, life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that we're both open to it. I just think there's some things that we've just drifted away from or avoided, maybe due to a steep learning curve, or maybe just a community that surrounds a game we don't understand or dislike because they're nerdier than we are.
There is a barrier to entry to a lot of things. On the outside looking in, you see that everybody's very advanced and you don't feel like you could start and get there anytime soon.
Yeah.
You don't want to get beat around.
Honestly, a stupid thing on my part, if that's part of my justification, because you never look at a master and say, I can't do that. You want to compare yourself to someone else who's at your level and see if you're good at it. You don't want to say, it's like me saying, I'm going to play guitar, but I shouldn't play guitar because have you seen Yngwie Malmsteen?
Yeah.
No. You look at Joe Schmo, who bought a guitar 6 months ago, and you say, am I doing okay versus him?
Right. Measure yourself to
an equal. Yeah. But still, it happens.
Yeah, sure. I noticed that the first one that we both wrote down.
Yeah, here we go.
Was fighting games.
Yeah.
So what's kept you from fighting games your whole life?
Well, I mean, there was a time when I played them a good bit to an extent. Yeah, I won't say a good bit. I played them randomly. Mm-hmm. Street Fighter II Turbo was a love of mine as a 16-year-old. But I think as time went on, just my perception of what games started getting bigger. And I love fighting games for the fact that how much they have to do with such as the constraint, I guess, put around a fighting game.
Right.
It's just two characters on a screen. And I love that. I love the constraint and how deep the gameplay can be with just that. But I think my idea of what games was just grew, you know, to like the RPG stuff or, you know, action sports. That was really big. You know, the skateboarding games, BMX games were really big. So I think it was mainly that, and I just don't have anybody to play a fighting game with, which is a really big part of it. You know, playing against an AI opponent's only fun for a minute.
True. Yeah, I could totally see that. I agree with you. I think I was into them when they were hot because the arcades were still a little bit hot there in the early 90s.
And our Mortal Kombat was like this big cultural taboo that you wanted to be a part of.
Exactly. And I remember going over to my cousin's house, who was a year older than me, and his parents let him have things that my parents wouldn't let me have. And he had Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Seeing the blood on the screen and stuff, and I was like, goodness gracious, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is great. Now, I never really got into Street Fighter as much or anything like that, but I knew its importance. Like, people would talk about it at school or be like, you know, play some Street Fighter. And it's kind of like, you know, that's not my, you know, because I wasn't big enough into gaming to feel like I could even hold my own. So I immediately was just like, okay, that's your guys' thing.
Right.
And I'm going to play the solo adventures like Zelda and things like that I can do on my own. I was an only child. There was no kids in my neighborhood that could just come over whenever they wanted to play games. And the friends I did hang out with were much like me in terms of just playing either sports games or the games that
solo,
we had.
Solo, single player stuff.
That we traded back and forth. So it's like I didn't even get a chance to get my hands on it a lot of the time.
Fair enough.
So that's why, you know, and then now it feels like if you're still into fighting games, you're probably really fucking good at them. So it's like, yeah, now's probably not a good time to jump in Raw Dog, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean, that's a good point. And I think there's, you know, I listed some fighting games on my list. Mortal Kombat, that's one that I would actually like to get. And at some point, I probably will, and actually should be on my under the radar segment at some point, is Mortal Kombat 10. Because I've heard great things about this game. It's lived for a very long time. It's fairly cheap now. They bring in the horror movie icons, mm-hmm, like Predator, Alien, Freddy.
That's true, yeah. That's cool.
And that's really cool. And I really do like the mythology of Mortal Kombat. I think it nails that better than other fighting games.
It does make it a little deeper.
Yeah.
I think Street Fighter does a pretty good job. It does what it can with, you know, yeah, the different countries and representative and all that stuff. But Mortal Kombat has this just like there's mythos to it, this right, darkness that is, like, I'm drawn to.
These people hate each other, and these people have a history, and these, mm-hmm, guys are brothers, and these guys used to be brothers, but now they hate each other, yeah, and they got married, and this is now their kid in the sequel, you know?
Mortal Kombat's like this more metal fighter, you know?
It's definitely, yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah,
cooler,
it is.
In my opinion.
And I, you know, I would definitely like to get into that at some point, just to play through the story. And that's why I guess I'm waiting for it to be $10, you know, because I'm probably just going to play the single player and be like, cool, and be done with it.
Right.
Unless I just happen to find somebody who really wants to play Mortal Kombat with me. But, you know, there's others like out there. Street Fighter is the series that still lives on. Mm-hmm. Street Fighter 4 came out a few years ago. Street Fighter 5 is out now, to the chagrin of some. It wasn't as great a release. The Blaze Blue series, pretty damn cool looking shit. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
I haven't even heard of that. Yeah, I saw it on the list. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, if you ever, like Guilty Gear, you know what Guilty Gear looks like?
I sure don't.
Okay,
no.
Jesus, you don't know.
I don't know.
You should. They're cool. They're very anime-inspired fighters.
Okay.
And they're very bombastic fighters. Very technical. And I'm not good at them at all. I've tried. And then there's like Smash Bros.
Yeah, so I was just thinking, you know, when you listed Smash Bros, yeah, I dabbled in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it never took off for me because there is that steep learning curve. It's like, if I want to get good at this, I got to put a lot of time into it.
Which means abandoning other things that you don't really want to.
Sure. It's a painful, like, you have to be serious and dedicated to want to get good and be able to, you know, if you want to be a part, like we talked about last week, be a part of that community.
Right.
You want to work your way into being, you know, in tournaments and things like that. It takes a lot of time. It's fun casually, but if you want to get serious about it, there's some, you know, painful lumps you have to take.
Yeah.
I was just like, I would rather spend my time doing it. I mean, it's colorful and pretty, and I like playing with the characters and seeing what all they can do. That's all fun. I can do that here in my living room by myself on my own. That's great. But I don't know if I want to take on other people and do it seriously and get caught up in it and it make it like a thing for me. I don't think I want to go, sure, that far with it. But you had also played some Killer Instinct.
I have, yeah. And that's another one that comes to mind. And I still kind of play that from time to time. If I want to jump into something for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 60 minutes, I will, you know, hop into some Killer Instinct and play a few rounds. And sometimes I'm pretty good. And other times I'm just absolute rubbish at it. But I still have fun with it. And, you know, they've tried to expand the Killer Instinct game that was released on Xbox One to include, like, this story mode and like loot boxes and cards and stuff like that.
They've been giving some stuff away for free too.
Yeah, and all this was free in an update. And I feel like the team really cares about the game, and I feel like the community is pretty strong, even though it's fairly small. It is crossplay PC, Xbox One now, so I think that expanded it a bit. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just not something that I consider a main genre that I play.
It's something you do. It's like your in-between game. Like, I have games that I play while I'm waiting for other people to get online or when I'm waiting for something to download.
Sure.
It's like a little experience. Like, I know I can hop in real quick and do something. It's almost like Rocket League. Like,
yeah,
I can hop in real quick and do a match while this is doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I can play a round of a tower defense game or something.
Sure. I do that a lot. Defense, yeah, grid. I, yeah, go to that.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Another one for me is Super Sims. Now, I like...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know if that's the name of the genre, but I called it that.
Sure,
because,
I like it.
You know, I love, you know, I've said it over time and time again, love The Sims, I love Sim City. Mm-hmm. I played most Sim City versions. The Sims I dabbled in early on, I haven't played many of the recent ones. But, you know, I really like those games because they had, and specifically because they were made by Maxis, they had a goofiness quality to them. And to me, they were still gamey.
Yeah, endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are some things like, you know, there's like flight simulators and train simulators and farm simulators. Euro truck simulator.
That's a
which
big one.
Those are less gamey. Those are like super sims. That's what I call it. That. Like, they're, yeah, simulators. Like, SimCity and Civilization, where it's very micromanagey, but it's still a game. But these are less game. Let's put you,
let's train you up.
You want to be a train conductor? Then here you go.
Like, this is interesting because, like, for a couple of years, my buddy James and I have joked about getting, like, Farming Simulator for PS4 and co-oping a farm.
Can you do that?
Yeah. I think you can.
That's cool.
I think you can. We've joked about it, so I'm not sure. But it seems like we should be able to.
That sounds fun.
But just almost as a joke, but I'm like, I would actually really like to do that. You know, it would be kind of fun.
The thing with those games, they're always usually expensive. Farm Simulator on Steam, I want to say at one point it's like $70.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, they got all these licenses. Like, they got real fucking tractors and that shit.
And that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. But, like, I just want to try it and see, like, how over my head it is. Yeah. Like, if I feel like I can play it, I'm like, oh, actually, this could be fun. Like, I can buy tractors and I know what I'm doing. Then maybe, but I'm afraid I would spend that money and get in there and it would be, like, square one, do this. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Fair enough.
Like, I would have to get a manual, like, I would have to do so many tutorials or whatever to figure out what the hell I would have to be a farmer before I could enjoy the game.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about.
I don't know. Like, I have contemplated many times, especially like the Steam sales or now you could probably pick up Farming Simulator 14 or 15 pretty cheap. And like, I kind of just want to get in there and try it,
yeah.
But I haven't. And this is a good example of a genre that I've just not tried. And there's a game called Spin Tires. Have you heard of this game?
No.
This is a PC only game, and it blew up a couple of years ago, and it actually still, I think, has a decent following. I know I see it like on daily sales and different gaming stores, PC gaming fronts. And it's basically, you have these giant Russian rigs, like these big trucks, these big Jeeps, these big like multi-track vehicles. And you just have to like get them from point A to point B, but it's really fucking muddy.
Right.
And you have to navigate all this mud and then trying to sink. And I'm sure there's other parts to it, but like that's the core gameplay, is just getting these vehicles through these giant,
like,
you know,
ice road trucker almost.
Like, yeah, but it's just like, it's just muddy and you're going to get bogged down. You're going to have to get yourself towed out. Like, that's the whole game, like,
wow.
in a nutshell. I mean, obviously there's more to it, but it's just like, and it was a huge hit. I mean, it's a beautiful game. It's very, like, has really cool mud dynamics, you know, and stuff like that.
The mud physics, Earth.
Yeah,
spot on.
Exactly. But it's just like this, I'm curious, you know, it's like I could probably pick it up for $10 and you know, waste a weekend on it, and it might be worth it.
Right. Yeah. No, I maybe before we close out each one of these, maybe talk about what it would take to get us into those.
Yeah.
And I think for fighting games, we mentioned, you know, we just need somebody at our skill level dedicated to just right. playing with us. And
it's like right now, if I bought Mortal Kombat 10 and we both played it, I think both of us would be on the same level, and that would be fine.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But for the Super Sim, I want to just try it and know where the starting point is.
Have you thought about just like watching a video to see? Like,
I guess
play?
I could. Yeah, I've not
entertained it enough
that I've taken it there. But you know, maybe. I mean, honestly, of planes, trains, and automobiles, which I listed here,
and shower curtain rings,
because there are some Super Sim.
Hope someone got that joke.
I didn't. There are some Super Sim racing games too that are almost not fun. If you like an arcadey racer,
right.
You know, if it's super simmy, you might not like it, and I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But the farm thing sounds fun because it's kind of.
It's not a competition.
Farming is an RPG of life.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I would think that's
like, if your crops fail, it's your fucking fault.
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably.
Unless you had some like weird infestation.
Yeah, or blight or what? Yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah. So for me, I just want to know what the entry level is.
Yeah.
Because it's so expensive. That's the main. That's another.
Yeah. Thing. Oh yeah. They're fucking pricey, dude.
All right, so moving on, you got one?
Let's see. Yeah, this is a genre that it's fairly small and almost relegated to one. I didn't know what else to call it, but I called them Monster Hunters. But the Monster Hunter series and Tokiden are two that comes to mind.
I don't know much about any of these.
Like on the portable consoles, these games are, well, specifically Monster Hunter is fucking huge, especially 3DS. And for a while, like PSP, and a little bit with Vita. But basically, you're these heroes, and you have this gear, and you go out, and you track a monster, and you fight it. And it's like just boss battle after boss battle after boss battle. Not unlike maybe Shadow of the Colossus.
Right.
Which I would also almost put in this category. even though I feel like it's a little more singular and a little more linear than Monster Hunter. But
you
know, like,
maybe you hunt less in Shadow of the Colossus.
Right. You know where they are and you just got to get them. But this, you know, it's, you got to, you know, work together as a team. It's a team of three that go out, and you play, you can play online co-op with other people, and you go out there and you just find these monsters and track them down and try to kill them. And people sink 400 or 500 hours into these games on handheld. And they love them and they get high ratings. They're like 9.7s, 9.8s, perfect 10s. Wow. Like, these games are good, but I have tried a couple of different times and I'm like, I don't know that I can do this. I really want to appreciate this because people like it. It's highly rated. It seems like something I should like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Hunting monsters and fighting monsters.
Yeah.
That's video games.
Exactly.
In a nutshell.
But for some reason, I just haven't had success yet. Huh. And I don't know how many more times I'll try. But
so what's missing for you then? What does it need?
I don't know. Maybe that I'm not shit at it, I guess. I don't know.
Have you tried watching videos?
I haven't.
What have we learned today?
We learned that YouTube is our friend.
Yeah.
But no, it's something really cool. And I did play like a demo of Tokuden on PS4 because it was a simultaneous release on PS4 and Vita. And they had a demo, so I was like, let me give this a shot, which is, it's basically Monster Hunter, just a little bit more of a, I guess, an old, like, archaic East Asian flair to it.
Gotcha.
And I had fun, but it never like grabbed me enough to like purchase the game entirely. Right. But yeah, it's fairly small. Like I said, it's fairly niche. I can only think of a couple of in that genre, but I mean, I guess they're technically RPGs because you level up and you gain skills and you have equipment and stuff, but it's not RPG in the sense of like, there's this big world and lore and I mean, there's some story there, but it's not typical.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, to me, it sounds like something I would like as well. But I've not really dug in at all. So I'd be interested in trying one just to see.
Yeah. Maybe I should go back and revisit it.
Maybe. Did you get it on 3DS? You have one, you said?
I don't have one, but I played the demos.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
And maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's just, here's the gameplay, and I didn't, like, ramp up, through
sure.
good tutorials.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One for me, and this is a big one. Everybody's been a part of one of these, it seems, at some point in their life, and that's an MMO.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, literally, the World of Warcraft. And wow, I put a little bit of time into this. So our friend Brian, and he had a buddy that played pretty regularly and pretty seriously up until about 2 or 3 years ago. And to the point that they would call each other every day around lunch and talk about, wow, for a couple minutes a day. And I was, kind of always intrigued by WoW because it is this massive thing. You always hear about people like abandoning their children over WoW and all, you hear all these things and I would never do that, but how addictive is this shit? Like, how good is it? What are we talking
about?
Exactly. And you have to pay a monthly subscription, so that's prohibitive for a lot of people.
A bit.
It was a turnoff for me, but I want to try it. I definitely want to try. I don't want to go through life never having been a part of this grandiose thing. So I jump into WoW, and I probably put, I maybe play a month or so and build my guy up a little bit, but I got burnt out really quick. It's just a lot of fetching this and a lot of fetching that.
Very, very grindy. If you don't like the grind, don't play an MMO, like for serial.
Well, yeah, but one of the things that made it better, like one night I got on there and a bunch of other random folks, and we wanted to take on this dungeon and get this artifact. It was like a quest item, and also I think it had a lot of good loot.
Okay.
But you can't take it on alone. So I meet up in a town, and I talked to the guys that got me into the game, and they're like, yeah, see if there's anybody online that'll do that with you. And I was like, so how do you do that? And I figure out how to do it, and we get a posse together, and it seems like everybody's cool, and we do this and take it on, and that's when it got really fucking fun.
Nice.
I loved it. Now, I don't like other people on games. I usually don't because it's like a group project to me, and I've always been the guy that's had to take on the brunt of the work and responsibility for the group project and everything I've ever done.
Sure.
I'm always afraid it's going to be like that. It's like, this is going to be fucking miserable. I have to fucking deal with these people doing stupid shit. But no, it was great, and I loved it, but I never could recreate that, after
that high.
Yeah, that first high. I never could, and I just never re-upped the subscription. So because of that, I never played Elder Scrolls Online.
Sure.
Or there's tons of them, RuneScape or whatever the fuck they got going on, Eve and all these things. I never jumped into that. It was always, part of it is too, it's like the outside looking in thing. It's like these people that are already in there, especially if it's an older one, are so into it. Jumping in now, it's like,
yeah.
Do they even allow new people in?
Are we allowed in here?
It's what it feels like for a
while. It feels like an old boys club, whatever.
To an extent. I don't know. You know, and I even thought when Elder Scrolls Online dropped, I'm like, this is a new one. I could get in here and be, you know, in on the first stuff and understand the world and have a leg up on everybody. But it's like, that's so much work and time and money, because at first it costs, you know, there's a subscription there too. Right. So that's it for me. Like, if it was, I know there's free MMOs out there, and they probably, you know, as Brian says, who's big into MMOs, nothing ever quite feels like WoW. I'm afraid that, you know, you get in there, if you don't pay for it, you're going to get what you get. You're not going to get a good experience. So that's me for MMOs.
Totally. No, that's a good point. I had dabbled a little in Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
That just never bit me. It was like, this is cool. You know, it's a world of Elder Scrolls. You can go to all these places that you kind of recognize, and they're all joined together, and it just never bit me, you know. And yeah. I played the Old Republic, the Star Wars one,
right,
for a bit, and that's still going strong. It's now free to play, but I played it for a couple of months and had some fun with it. You know, it's a good BioWare MMO, sure, and Star Wars, which is something that I enjoy, and it's the Old Republic, which is something that I really enjoy. But it just, you know, never really just landed squarely with me.
Sure,
just sort of dabbled.
I think because you and I, maybe due to this podcast, we've become high volume gamers. We like to get our hands on a lot of different games, taking on a lot of experience.
I think that's me naturally, and I think the podcast has intensified that.
I don't think I'll ever get into an MMO. I mean, and I appreciate it. I think it's kind of, it's almost a romantic idea to be so in love with a game that you have like a family there and you can get on, you know, ever so often, and everybody's there at the same time. And you can,
like,
go have fun.
You have
together.
This like one-on-one relationship with this game.
Yeah, but
you know, but I like the mistresses.
I do too. I like taking on a lot of experiences. I like playing a lot of games, and Friday is the spice of life. You know, I don't want to live my life based on the next expansion. I want to play a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay a subscription.
Also true.
Which, not saying that Blizzard's doing it wrong. I mean, the subscription model was awesome for them.
It clearly works.
It does.
For them.
It's just, for me, I don't want to do that.
And the funny thing is, I'll spend a hell of a lot more than $15 a month on games on average.
Oh, yeah. Like,
but just the thought of having to pay every month to play the same game.
Exactly.
Is the kicker.
Like, if you see my shelves, I probably put more than $15 a month in the games that I'm probably not going to play anytime soon.
Yeah.
But the idea of, I don't know, just one game.
The recurring payment for one game.
That
I think that's
no ending.
Right. There's, yeah.
I'm a credits guy. I like the finality. I like the...
You like the completion.
I do like to reach climax with my games.
Yeah, you do.
You know? But it's for a certain person that has that addictive kind of personality, and mm-hmm. they like to build on the character, and I respect it. It's just not for me.
Yeah, samesies. Samesies.
What else you got?
What else do I have on this here list is sports games.
No, I can tell you a little bit about that.
I know you can. And this is something that I used to be in to an extent. I played some FIFAs a few years ago. Just randomly, played with a buddy. We'd come over and we'd play matches and we'd have a lot of fun. But like, that's the first time in probably 15 years that I've played sports games. But like back in the day, I would, like on the SNES and PlayStation. You know, I'd play the MLB games. I'd play Madden from time to time. It was never huge with me. I did like the sports adjacent games like NBA Jam, NBA Street, FIFA Street. Loved those.
The arcadey ones, yeah.
Yeah. And even as recently as, I guess it was last year, PlayStation Plus, one of their games for the month for PS4 was a NBA 2K16 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was 15. And I was like, this is cool. I've always wanted to play this game. Let me get in here and get at it. I'll have fun with it. Just never did.
Yeah, man. So sports games are a big reason why I am the type of person I am today with games.
Okay.
I think maybe I mentioned it on the podcast.
You went to prison and just played sports games?
Yeah, and I think it shapes my story because, you know, as a kid, I played whatever games were handed down to me. I don't know that my parents bought me more than like one or two new games as a kid. My brother, he always had, you know, he would always get the next best thing. My brother being 18 years older than me, so he had his own family. So he would,
gotcha.
Before he had kids, when he got a new system, he would hand his old system to my dad to give to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I inherited a lot of games that way. So I was always kind of a generation behind, usually.
You still are.
It's true. I've never gotten out of that. But I play, you know, and a lot of the games he had were sports games, and I was a sports playing kid. I played a lot of that. So if I didn't get an adventure game in the lot, if I was ever going to get a new game, it was always a sports game, you know? And
did it have anything to do with the fact that there was like a number on it? Like it you knew it was new because it said 96 on it or something?
I don't know that had anything to do with it.
I'm just looking at it.
No, I mean, it's a good question. And, you know, everybody, you know, Madden was always confusing because it was always a year behind or whatever. But,
yep.
You know, that carried through for a long because my friends, we all played sports. We played sports games. So that big block of time between, like, when I was 8 and, God, dude, 25. You know, I didn't go.
It's crazy.
I was such a casual, very much a casual gamer. I was the guy that I didn't know about the game unless it was already out. I didn't know if it was a good or bad game unless people were
Someone
talking about
you.
It and playing it.
Gotcha.
I didn't read gaming news. I didn't listen to podcasts, you know, whatever. Until, you know, hats off to our friend Briz, who I ended up working with, and he was like, have you ever heard of Fallout 3? And I was like, no, tell me all about it. And hence this craze. Now I'm wearing a Gears of War 4 t-shirt. I'm sitting at an NES table surrounded by Amiibos on a camera talking about video games on a gaming podcast. It started my dive back into it, and I was like, look at all this crazy fucking shit I missed.
Yeah.
But for that 17-odd years, sports games were my shit. And part of me resents that. In that I wasted so much time playing the same game. You know, it's maybe why I stay away from MMOs. Play the same games over and over again. Just football games. Just getting scores. Just winning games and winning a season. Like, yay, I finished 7-6. Yay. Like,
going to a ball, boys.
Going to a ball. Like, and that's fun because I love sports. Always, you know,
sure.
As a kid, wanted to be a football player. And obviously, you know, you fall short of that. But it ate up my life to the point now that I probably won't, unless the new college football game drops, because I'm addicted to those, I probably won't buy another Madden or another NBA 2K or anything like that, just because I want to play all the shit I missed while I was in sports game fucking prison.
There you go. The good thing is, for me, at this point, is I do subscribe to the EA Vault thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually around this time every year, they dump all the previous year's sports titles into the Vault. And they're like, here you go, play them.
Yeah.
So, like, Madden just hit, so I might give that a shot. It's been ages since I played Madden.
Yeah.
I would say 7-8 years.
Right.
So, I might do it.
Yeah, dude, they're getting better and better.
I think
all
the bar to entry for sports games is just that perennial purchase.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, I wish they had a better model for that, but.
I can give them one, but they won't listen to me.
Yeah.
They keep making money the way they're doing it. They ain't going to change.
Well, you know. Thanks to sports games, I was off the grid with gaming for a while. So I've been off sports games now for about 5 or 6 years.
Been clean
for that long, even though I still play the outdated NBA or NCAA 14,
which
is the newest edition. But other than that, I have been very clean. For me, another one that I don't get into and I really... I've watched some esports of and still have no idea what the fuck's going on, but they're wildly popular globally, MOBAs. Like League of Legends and Dota, Defense of the Ancients. Those games, I watch people play them, and I understand what's going on, but I don't get it. I don't get why it's so revered.
I don't either, and I've tried. I've tried playing Dota. I tried League of Legends once. Just did not click with me.
What would it take?
I don't know, for them to not be shitty games, I guess.
You think they're bad games?
I think they're bad games, but I just don't understand them. So that's just me passing judgment on them.
I guess if you had a group of competitive friends that were into it, maybe. Maybe if everybody you knew was so into it and they had a competitive edge and they wanted to.
Right.
Maybe.
I like the little, I guess, design elements that have of a MOBA that have bled into other genres and sort of blended a little bit, like Gigantic and Battleborn.
Okay.
Like, both of those have, like, MOBA elements. I mean, Gigantic's obviously a MOBA. It's a third-person MOBA. I played Awesome Knots a little bit. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one. It's
I've heard of it.
2D side-scroller MOBA. Pretty fun. Actually, really fun, but it just, it's not a mainstay
for me. Just doesn't do it for you.
Yeah.
Is it because it's strictly multiplayer and you feel like you have to have people you know as a part of it to strategize?
No. I mean, that helps, but especially in a game like that, but no, that's not even it. It's just, I don't know.
This doesn't do it for you.
I wish I could quantify it. It's just not my gig.
I watch them and I wish, you know, I'm often envious of the amount of fun people have with them because I'm like, you know, see them win and they get all excited and it just seems like, you know, it's part of the sports thing. It's like, man, look how, you know, awesome it looks. If it must feel to win, you know, with the stakes as high as they can get them. But, you know, you dabble in it and you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just clicking
things.
It
could be that I'm just not a PC gamer.
That helps.
At all, you know.
Or hinders.
It sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do kind of stay away from that purposefully because it's just not my comfort zone. So maybe that's part of it. The last one we share.
We do, and we've shared two.
Yeah. Yeah, we shared the first one and the last one. So
didn't even plan that.
Did not. But card games.
Yeah.
Now, I'm always, I even have a reputation among my friends, not even wanting to play like a real sit down in front of you card games. Like, people are like, hey, man, you want to play, poker? I'm like, no, I don't want to. And I think a lot of it is that I have no control. And I think that bothers me.
it's all chance. Luck based. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all chance or bluffing, which
I'm not good at all.
Even if I were good at it, I don't know that I'd have fun doing it. I don't know.
It's a form of power.
Sure.
But
yeah,
it's how you get control in poker is by bluffing.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at that, so I don't have fun because my poker face is.
Yeah,
that's what I got.
Yeah. So we listed off a couple here. So we have a good friend that plays Hearthstone a lot. Mm-hmm. And I've played even a little bit of Hearthstone. And I don't think it's bad. You know, I've had a little bit of fun with it. It's actually. I would call it. We'll mention Magic the Gathering here in a second.
Well, you just did.
I find it to be a very simplistic version of that, like a very streamlined. Low bar of entry version of that. And I think it's actually really good, but I can't play it for very long. I play like one or two matches, and I'm just like, I get it. It's cards and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's fine. Eh. There's nothing to explore. There's not, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Right.
Maybe it's a good time waster, you know, on your phone. But for me, it's not an experience. It's not enough fun to warrant it for me.
I can see that.
Yeah. What have you stayed away from those?
I think it's the lack of graphics.
Yeah.
I think it's because it doesn't provide, and not that I'm like a graphics snob.
It sounded like it when you said that.
Well, I mean, some of these are beautiful, like some of the animation.
Sure.
And the art is beautiful, especially in anything Blizzard does.
Oh, well, yeah.
But the, I think it's just the lack of immersion that I get, or the lack of immersion. Period. Then I don't get immersed into it, you know. Kind of like I mentioned in the first Off Kilter we did, I like my music to be an escape fantasy. I'm the same thing with my games.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm just looking at a deck of cards, that helps me in no way escape.
Yeah,
it's just a deck of cards.
Sure.
So I like a world. I like music. I like characters. I like dialogue. I like action. I like vistas. And that helps me escape. You know, seeing a card flip over does nothing for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Now, I appreciate the strategic elements they
put in. Oh, yeah.
They found some fun ways, especially in Hearthstone. It's more than a card game in a sense. Like, there's some, you know...
It's a tactics game.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. But mm-hmm. It still kind of falls into that card game realm in that it's kind of set up that way. You know, you look at it and it looks like...
It's just visually not appealing to me. It's not gameplay
unappealing.
It's just visually unappealing.
And then speaking of Magic the Gathering series, I've actually played a couple of the versions. I want to say 2012 and 2013. And I took those beginning to end through the campaigns and really did enjoy those.
Cool.
Wouldn't play another person that way, though. That is one of the few I would prefer playing a person face-to-face in. But those games are good because I was really curious about Magic the Gathering. We talked about Variety, the Spice of Life. It was a point in my life where I was like, Magic's popular. What's it all about?
Sure.
And me and Brian both, Briz, went through this phase where we were like, let's learn more about it. And so we played the games, we got the cards, and playing through Magic the Gathering on the game was a very good teacher. It was, you know, it showed you when you couldn't do things, when you could do things, and it really does help someone who wants to get into Magic really get into it. I think that's a good way to do it. it just doesn't have the long-lasting appeal. Like, you play, you know, that version, like the 2012 version, you play through it, and it's kind of like, oh, okay, so yeah, I played the campaign, so I'm done with it. Like, I don't really want to play anybody, you know.
Gotcha.
I don't really want to do anything past that. At least that was how I was. It was very, just very short-lived burst of play.
Hmm.
Didn't get hooked. And you mentioned another one here.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls Legends, which is the I guess their reaction to Blizzard's Hearthstone.
Yeah, I never played that.
Yeah, I've heard it's okay.
Yeah.
But I probably won't play it.
What about Gwent?
That's something I've dabbled with in The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a mini game within The Witcher Wild Hunt, but it's actually getting a full-on release at some point soon.
Right.
Yeah. So it seems cool, and I had a decent amount of fun with it.
Sure.
But I might go back and give it another shot. Usually you can just go to taverns and find people to play with.
Cool. So it sounds like for a lot of these, we just need either a friend to play with, or we just need to better learn how to play them.
I think in most cases, that's it. You know, I think there's a few here that I just won't get into.
Because of the time suck.
Commitment. Yep.
Yeah. That's I'm the same way.
Yep.
Oh, so I guess that pretty much does it for our discussion. Thanks for joining.
Yes.
If you have a genre you can't rightly get into, but you kind of wish maybe you could, maybe drop us a line on Twitter. Let us know. We'd be interested to finding out more about what you think. As always, you can find us on Twitter. We are together at Polykill, and I am at Trav Plays Games.
And I am at the McAxel.
You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Please subscribe to our YouTube. It's lonely, and it needs you.
It loves you.
Rate us on iTunes or whatever you use. Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast FM. Always, always visit polykill.com. If you'd like to interact with us directly, you can find us on the Cartridge Club forums. Just go to cartridgeclub.org, go to interactive, then forums, then you'll find it there. Register, drop us a line. And if you'd like to start the conversation on an off-kilter episode, share your favorites or your best horror, sad, funny, thrilling, exciting,
whatever,
desperate tale of whatever you got. The best, when you meet a new friend and you share a story,
it's that story you're just itching to tell somebody.
You can't wait to fucking tell somebody about it. You can even submit it anonymous if it's terrible.
It's,
it doesn't matter. You can send that to us along with any other feedback you have at polykillpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
And we'll see you on episode 36.
Until then,
peace.